This is RSBNB Update, episode 456, recorded March 14th, 2014. I got shot! Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for this edition of RSBNB Update, recorded on Pi Day, March 14th, 2014. I guess that would be double pi, maybe. Maybe. Yes. No.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyways, thank you. Thank you for... Thank you for being here, as usual. That's a cue to say hi.
Then.
And of course that's Earth, since this week is a quest week, and you know he just loves those quests so much
we always
bring him on.
I'm
right
here.
Hi.
Yeah, Shane just brings me out of the dungeon.
The
not out
no,
of the closet
where he lives.
God sakes, no. Anyways, so it's nice to be with you guys, man. Last time Earth was on the show was with Dave, and we had fun then, so we'll probably have fun now, too, won't we?
Yeah. Are you going to remove all of the fun stuff again, though?
Yeah, I am, if you make me do that. For anybody who wasn't aware, there was quite a bit of editing that went into the last show that Earth was on. So, fingers
apparently
crossed.
Apparently every show that I'm in, because... Shane's anti-fawn. I just don't understand.
Anyways, well, let's have some fun with
talking
about the quest, shall we?
Oh man, we're starting with that?
Yes, one of a kind. A Grandmaster quest that Jagex has put out for us this week, dealing with the Dragonkin and the Dragon Riders, something... that people have wanted to know for a long time about on RuneScape, exactly what the dragons are and where they come from and how it's possible to ride a dragon. So let's begin with just some requirements of this quest. I didn't really think these were too strenuous. I'll read through the list right now. 40 divination, 67 dungeoneering, 81 magic, 74 summoning, King's Ransom, Missing Presumed Death, A Tale of Two Cats, and The World Wakes. It's also, of course, recommended to have completed Ritual of the Majorat.
Aye. Although it's very minor.
Yeah. So do you think these requirements of the quest were good for Grandmaster level, or did they not go far enough? You guys.
Yeah, it was good
asking
enough.
Me? Sure.
Okay. Only 40 divination for this one as a bit of a prelude, I guess, into what's coming later this month. But, of course, we'll talk about that later in the month. 81 magic, yeah, I guess that's Grandmaster territory, as is 74 summoning, given that the amount of time that summoning needs to require. So, now, going into the actual quest itself, there's been some discussion around the community as to whether this quest was worth the Grandmaster title. Yes or no? Was this a Grandmaster quest?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
I say it was. The requirements are relatively high, if you think of it, compared to many other quests, and it's probably on range. Very interesting puzzle, some very minor puzzle solving, but very combat-based as well.
It did have puzzle solving. So
minor.
Just that by itself means that this is not your average quest.
You know,
not
nothing
anymore,
beats the puzzle from what's that Monkey Madness quest where you had to do the puzzle box and people were having so much trouble with it that they brought in the ability.
Monkey Madness.
Yeah, Monkey.
The ability to pay to get it solved. It was like 250,000.
That was 1 mil.
When was that high?
I don't know.
I remember I solved it, and I was like, "All right, I'm done."
Yeah. Isn't so
just
nothing
a
on.
Simple.
Sorry, it was a simple six box sliding puzzle like we do for treasure trail.
Treasure trail? No, those are 5x5.
Well, whatever it was, same thing.
Yeah, and I mean, there was nothing of that level in this quest. Just a bit of interpreting the map and the Dragonkin language as to where to go. You know, I actually thought that some of the Dragonkin words sounded close to Jem'Hadar words in the Star Trek lingo.
Why they don't talk?
What is it?
In English.
5 minutes into
the
Jem'Hadar
show,
Shane.
Anyway,
nothing.
I mean, I guess
you didn't go Klingon there, but
no, Klingon is much more abrupt, and it's a very passionful language.
Shane is fluent in Klingon.
You gotta
for those
express
is,
yourself.
Actually,
you gotta really have
he
the
really
punch
is.
To all your words. You know, you gotta
you
punch
mean,
those words. As they get through.
Hebrew.
Exactly, Reed.
But,
excellent job.
But
if one wants to be a real man, they will speak Klingon.
You mean right. It's a real urge to know what Klingon is. Alright, anyway, go back onto the quest. So anyway, you start off in Burstrub in order in your little... No, wait, sorry. You start off in Varrock Museum from talking to a dragon scholar who wants to find out more information about
the
dragon.
The guy
kid.
Who used to do the random event.
Mr. Mordeau, who, amusingly enough, you never go back to again.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just walking along in the Varrock Museum. Let's see what Mr. Mordeau is up to today.
That was weird. Don't do that again.
Alrighty, whatever you say. Alright.
Oh
so... Do you want to continue there?
Anyway, you agreed to help them, and you're on a mission to find the Fabled Dragon Riders, and it's in Burthrop.
Yeah.
Bob's house, so actually.
Yep, you go to Unferth, who is Bob the Cat's human.
Human!
What?
Human!
Yeah, I don't get
talking
that either.
About?
I don't know.
Of course you don't. You ever watch
Where was Bob the Cat for you guys? Just out of curiosity when you did the quest on your world.
It was in Falador.
North of Falador.
Okay. He was in Falador for me.
Anyway, so with that, you find there's a hidden library under the carpet. After you basically ransack his house.
After you destroy all of his house.
You
and
know,
then
that
he angrily says
flimsy.
That you're going to tear up his carpet next. And then you do that, and then there's a trap door.
But I will say what you find underneath the trap door is pretty interesting.
It is a library.
You find a victim of Medusa.
That too. You also find the Dragon Rider.
Except he's stonified.
But... He's what?
He's
stonified.
Yes.
Hey, guys.
Anyway, so you... There's actually a magical scroll that you find that can actually... make him flesh and blood again, which you do, and you find out a little more history about the Dragonkin. He wants to kind of go around asking other dragons about what happened, so you go. You talk to the green dragon in the wilderness, which a lot of people got killed on the way there. And
I didn't.
I said a lot. I didn't say we all did. I didn't. I got lucky.
Shane, did you?
No, I did not. But I did scare you, Reed, didn't I, and say I was going to come get you.
No, I just turned... Shane said that he was going to come kill me when I went to the place, so I turned off my chat so he couldn't do his creepy join thing. and that is all that happened.
All right.
But then you
dragon, and then you talk to other dragons as well, including the Queen QPD. Black Dragon, who who miraculously is human flesh tastes good. And then you go talk to the King Black Dragon, who tells you that he's been hiding a very special dragon, a special dungeon on the other.
We forgot one tiny kind of dragon, though. The Celestial Dragon.
The Stoner ones?
No, not the Celestial Stoner ones. The Celestial Dragons on Dragon
We had
Tooth
to go
Island.
To the Iron Dragons, too, though.
Yeah, he mentioned that.
Yeah, but that part.
Which are defeated with, like, no armor, a dragonfire shield, and I think a Corassi's sword. So there's your combat system, everyone.
Yeah, it was pretty easy. What about the Celestial Dragons? Did those pose much of a challenge for either of you?
I used all of my food, I think. But again, no armor. None of that. I'll have none of that.
I just used super anti-fire and kept maging it.
Super anti-fire.
Yeah,
that'll prevent it all from bleeding through. The Celestial Dragon actually has an interesting little attack where it stops time. And you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can take
just
some damage.
GagX's servers.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what it feels like. It feels like you're lagging out when you're fighting one of these things. Very good analogy. I never thought of that. I was reading up on these dragons after the fact, and it said that it is highly unadvisable to use AoE attacks, because if you use AoE attacks, you'll have multiple of them hitting you at the same time, right? And if they freeze you in time, they said it's conceivable that you'll be permanently frozen.
That's fun.
Interesting.
Yeah, so anyways, that's the new dragon that was brought into the game. We'll talk about it a bit later in the rewards section. But as you said, you also go talk to the King Black Dragon, who has been hiding a very special type of dragon, and that's the mythical white dragon that people have wanted for a long, long time.
Is that what, Third Age armor is made from, or something?
I think so, because a bunch of dragon hunters came in and tried to kill it.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny, in a way.
Whoa, did you say blue-eyed white dragon?
Yeah, blue eyes, white dragon.
So you're kind of making the blue-eyed devil joke there.
No, I wasn't.
No.
Okay, just checking, just checking.
Shane, you just failed so hard. Shane,
Yu-Gi-Oh.
Go back in the corner. Shane, go back
it's
in the
Yu-Gi-Oh?
Corner.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I never watched that show as a child, so I have no idea.
Shane, all you watched as a child was Star Trek.
And as an adult. But
anyway. As you said, the dragon hunters, they come in and they try and kill the guy, or kill the dragon, but no, you have to fight these off. And then you get taken for a very, very interesting ride across the wilderness, and you crash right on top of Daemonheim, and you end up inside of a dungeon. And they hinted that, you know, the dungeoneering storyline does indeed have something maybe to do with this. I don't have a high enough level, nor do I have the experience in the dungeoneering storyline to know this. But do you know if that's true there, Trekkie?
Reed would know more.
If what is true?
That the dragonkin have some relation to the dungeoneering storyline.
It wouldn't surprise me, because they've got their hands in everything. Censored myself there for you, Shane.
Thank you. Thank you.
But It wouldn't surprise me, given that it deals with a lot of power.
Right.
But I don't know for certain.
Okay, so you end up inside there, and you need to you discover that Karapak, the dragonkin that you run into, has been keeping another dragonkin here, specifically Strythath. That's the same person that appeared in all the Ritual of the Majorad and the Missing Presumed Death Quest as the dragonkin. And basically, the way I took it is that he's going completely insane because of the spell that Jazz put on him. Is that what you guys got from this as well?
That is what happened, yes.
Okay. And in order to try and free him, what you need to do is you need to gather these wisps and then feed them to him. And then when you do that, you infuriate Jazz, or at least the echo of Jazz, and that's what you have to fight as the final NPC in this quest. And then after you do that, you have a final choice to make, and quest complete. So,
yeah.
Overall, what did we learn from this quest?
That the dragonkin can at least partially free themselves from the curse that has been placed upon them.
By the Stone of Jazz.
Yep. By Jazz.
And you know, this is interesting in itself, because if there is a certain way of breaking away from this, what does this mean for the dragonkin in terms of where their allegiances might lie? Because let's remember here, we have two different factions going
themselves.
On. Because in Ritual of the Majorad and Welgothic Sleeps, we made contact with the Stone of Jazz, and in Ritual of the Majorad, we hid the Stone of Jazz, and that's when Sliske decided that he was going to make a power grab for it. And of course, that really, really upset the dragonkin to the point where they burnt Edgeville. So basically, my line of thinking here, in concert with what you said, in that the dragonkin can somewhat free themselves from this, could there be groups of dragonkin that want to maybe pursue their agenda in a more divine fashion by aligning with Sliske in that regards? If they can break free of that, rather than being a defender of the Stone of Jazz, what if they were to end up doing a complete 180 and helping?
Helping what?
Whom? Helping Sliske or whoever might be making the power grab for the Stone of Jazz next.
Why would they do that?
Well, I mean, if, as we saw,
it's their motivation.
Strysef, he seems as though he's infuriated by the curse that's placed on him, in that, you know, he wants to break free of it, or at the very least, Karapak wants to break him free of it, right?
Yeah, I think it's more of,
interesting. What was that?
It's more of, I hit something, disregard that. I think it's more of the fact that the false users and all of that, because that is the curse that was placed upon him, is to destroy all of those who are false users.
Okay.
So, I don't think he's... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, go, Shane.
I honestly didn't have a fully formulated thought there. I just wanted you to finish the topic that you were on. But if you want me to go ahead.
Well, I mean, the dragonkin. What did you guys pick at the end?
Yeah, let's discuss this choice now. Basically, at the end of the quest, you have a final choice. You can either send the white dragon, Theragorn, home with the dragon riders, or the dragon rider can stay with Karapak in order to, you know, potentially get a cure for his affliction.
Yes, but it's not. Well, okay.
So what did you guys pick?
I sent them home.
I ended up... Well, Shane sent them home. I actually went and told him to go with Carapac.
I did that too, Trekkie. Shane, what was your reasoning?
My reasoning comes back... Sorry, what was that?
Nothing.
Oh. My reasoning comes from that. I think that, you know, it goes based on what I was saying, that maybe this group of Dragonkin, led by Carapac, wanted to free Streitsath from this curse in order to help them out, or maybe join factions with one of the gods eventually. So my idea was that, yeah, you know, the Dragonkin are dangerous and they have a job that they're bound to do by this curse. But what if there's one that's already breaking free of this curse and wants to do something else to maybe get back at one of the Elder Gods for the curse that's been placed on the race? Because when you think about it, would a race that has an entire curse placed on it to protect the stone like that, they wouldn't really... It would be the equivalent of an insane person committing murder. They would not necessarily know they're doing something wrong by doing that. They're just doing what they're told in the same way that the Nazis brainwashed everybody in Nazi Germany in the 1930s. So basically what I'm getting at is that maybe this one Dragonkin has broken free of that and wants to break the others free as well. And having another dragon rider there might provide some research to him as to what's going on with the curse and enable him to complete his goals. So my idea is that it's just a far less dangerous option to have this wild card floating around in this deep dungeon here for however many years he's going to be there. And plus, if you also send him home, the dragon rider gets to live in peace with the white dragon and just live out its days.
All right. Well, now that
yes, Reed.
God, I don't know. I sent him with Carapac as well, because even though he said it might take decades, to do it, this is a video game, so it's either going to happen in a quest or two, or it's never going to happen. So, and we'll never hear from them again anyway. So I figured, all right, why not? Plus, he seems to be honorable, I guess, because he did help out Theragorn.
Right. And
he did follow up on his end of the bargain. Yeah. So he's shown me no reason thus far why I shouldn't trust him. So
Well, right. Here's the reason why I chose to go with Arapak. We are more powerful than you give us credit for, Shane. You forget that we now have power from Guthix. I truly believe that if Carapac tries anything bad, I have the ability to actually stop him. And if he is indeed trying to make a cure, I believe I can find that cure. I believe I can. I am playing with Carapac right now for him to start the cure and everything else. I believe that in the future, when he's close to it, he's trying to work with his own agenda. I can figure it out and stop him.
That's another good idea as well. The World Guardian is definitely something to look forward to, because we really haven't, you know, touched on that much aside from missing presumed death as to what our powers could be. And like I said, wouldn't it be great if at the end of this Six Age storyline you end up being a god?
No, I don't want to be a god.
Why not?
Because I want to be supreme ruler of Glenanor. There is no other supreme being but me. I don't care about anybody else. I will kill Guthix. Oh no, I will re-kill Guthix. I will reanimate Guthix and kill him again. I will kill Seradoma. I will kill Seradoma. I will kill Zamorak. I will defeat Zaros and every other stupid little god except Anubis. He's cool. He's my partner right now. Besides, I will become supreme ruler of Glenanor. Any who defies me shall feel the wrath of Anubis. I shall rip out his tongue and commit the Humdai.
And what?
The Humdai.
I don't know.
What exactly is that?
You ever watched The Mummy?
No.
No.
Forget it.
It's a curse by ancient Egypt where you shall be buried at the feet of Anubis. And if he is ever to be resurrected to back to life, shall bring forth the 10 plagues of Egypt. Or in this case, a little desert area in to the south.
And this is why you want to be supreme ruler.
Plot device to me.
Yes, I will be supreme ruler. Anyone who defies me shall be slaughtered.
Okay. Well, okay. I don't know if we'll ever see that happening, but it definitely provides for an interesting angle, I guess. So, where do we go from here?
I don't think Shane thinks that's going to happen.
No. Where do we go from here?
I don't know.
Where do we go from here?
As much as I wanted to take from this quest, it just seems like it's a meet the Dragonkin, meet the Dragon Riders type quest. There's got to be something more coming where these two factions are going to play a major role.
Yeah.
It's like that race where you have a rough first contact with them and then the next one turns out to be better. That's what this was.
Okay.
So the next one, are we going to be working with these Dragonkin, or what are we going to be doing with them? Like, whose side are they going to be coming in on? Or are they going to be into the gods at all?
I don't know. Only time will tell, yes.
And you see, this is
well done, though.
Yes. Yes.
I would say.
And this is the really compelling thing about RuneScape storylines, is that you get a good quest like this, with all these questions coming up and answering questions and leaving more open, it really opens the door to the next quest in the series, which is something that Jagex has always been good at. And like you said there, I'm going to agree with you that this quest was extremely well done. So much to the point it's up there, I think.
It's up there?
Yeah, it's up there with the best quests of RuneScape, like the Elven storyline and whatnot.
So you would give this a 5 out of 5?
You know, I'm reluctant to give 5 out of 5s, except to these kind of quests, but I guess I will have to say 5 out of 5 this time.
Wow.
Cool.
5 out of 5 from Shane. That happens, once ever.
Once every 3 years, give or take, for a quest.
Once ever.
And you know the thing is, we didn't have any major problems like we had with the last quest in the finale to the Dwarven line. We won't talk about that. I'll save that for when the Elf quest comes out, but. Anyways, what would you guys give this out of 5?
4.
Yeah, 4.5. I enjoyed it, but I think they could have. I think they could have done a bit more on divination thing. I feel like so. Okay, I'm done.
Okay. Yeah, that just seemed to be thrown in there.
Yeah, it was a way to get the skill involved. I mean, you could have gathered some sort of ingredients from within the dungeon and made some sort of potion or something and imbued some magic spell and did something similar to that. So you're right, that just was thrown in there for the use of the divination skill. So I will give you guys that. All right.
Yeah.
So let's chat about the rewards now. Rewards for this quest, a huge amount of magic and summoning XP, 90,000 magic, 80,000 summoning XP. That's very nice, right?
Sure, I didn't get a level, so I didn't notice how much XP I got.
45,000 Dungeoneering XP. The Dragon Rider Amulet, which has a 4.0 crit chance, which is close to the Glory and Fury, but the interesting thing about this amulet is that it has a plus 10 prayer bonus, so I believe that is the best prayer bonus in terms of an amulet slot in the game currently. So if you're using prayer, and you want to extend the use of your prayer, the Dragon Rider Amulet is definitely what you'll want to wear. So I like that reward. That's good. You also have access to the Celestial Dragons, which, contrary to past dragons, they're not metal-based. This is another interesting thing that came up in the quest, is that the Dragon Rider, he was very, very upset that somebody would try and create bronze, iron, steel, and mithril dragons. Did you guys catch that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You forgot adamantium dragons.
Yeah, those don't exist yet. But anyways, so these celestial dragons...
I was confused too. Yeah. Like, wait a minute. Those are real?
They don't exist. Nope. So celestial dragons drop summoning equipment, charms, and whatnot, so they have a chance of dropping two of each of the various colored charms. They also drop dragon hide of the four colored dragons, and a whole bunch of types of summoning secondaries, so water talismans, unicorn horns, steel plate bodies, adamant bars, fire talismans, pretty much everything that's expensive nowadays in terms of summoning equipment. Or secondaries,
not
I mean.
Not for long.
Yeah, we hope so, considering the price of a water talisman was upwards of 20k during the bonus XP weekend. They also dropped the Dragon Rider... Yeah, it was. They also dropped the Dragon Rider armor set, which is level 70 hybrid armor that you can get.
It's very prayer-based as well, too.
Yes, once again, high prayer bonuses, best prayer bonuses in the game in terms of items that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a Dragon Rider kit that gives the Dragon Rider boots and gloves to make superior versions of them. So, yeah.
And keep in mind, two items of the outfit can only be dropped by the King Black Dragon.
And those are the Dragon Rider boots and gloves that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
The rest come from the Celestial Dragons.
Mm-hmm. Total of the whole thing right now is around 20 mil.
Yeah, which I mean is fine. I view these more so as a reward of the quest rather than something that you will go out and purchase. Because when you put together these prayer bonuses, you get the best prayer bonus in the game. And when it comes down to it, you really don't want to wear hybrid armor around now, do you? Because the stats on hybrid armor is just so low. Granted, you have no weaknesses or strong point, but it's just very low, and it's really not worth using hybrid armor in my opinion, for any sort of strange combat situations. Yes, and your phone just died, so I'm just talking about the Dragon Rider armor right now and why nobody will probably end up wearing it aside from its prayer bonus, because it's hybrid-based.
Yeah. No, I'm on the computer now.
Okay, that's fine.
I was going through my phone, everyone, because my mic on my headset broke. So now I'm coming through a webcam mic. So, yeah.
It doesn't sound very different. Anyways.
You just jinxed it.
So yeah. Are you guys going to go get Dragon Rider armor for the prayer bonus? Gives you a grand total of 46 prayer bonus.
Oh.
What is the reason to visit Dragonkin Island now?
Dragon Tooth Island.
Yeah, fine, whatever, same thing.
That's the level 80 divination spot, actually.
85.
Oh, 85? Whoops.
Yeah,
I was just getting all sorts of things wrong, aren't you?
Yeah, I have 90 divination, so I should know, right?
Yeah. I'm sad anyway, that they removed the fee, though.
Yeah. I mean, you got to train divination for free, right? So that's why they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. So anything else on One of a Kind before we move on?
Nope. Not a thing. It is good. Right. If you have, you should do it if you haven't.
Yeah, I thought I enjoyed it. It was cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so do One of a Kind, and will definitely be very interesting to see where this storyline goes in the future. And I'm just going to remind everybody right now that we also have a RSBND Update supplemental out, giving the community perspective on One of a Kind from 101.1. That's on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/RSBNBstaff.
And Shane did, in fact, spell 101.1 correctly.
I did.
Did not have an F.
That was a typo.
So,
once upon a time.
I know.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the tweaks and fixes right now. So I'm just going to open this up to general admission here. Anybody have any tweaks and fixes that jump out at you guys this week?
Actually, why did they add all the stupid icons on the minimap? It's all cluttered now.
Let me go find that imager thing for you, Shane. But yeah, those are the definition of obnoxious. The new icons. If you haven't looked at the world map with all of the with everything enabled, you cannot see Varrock, you cannot see Berthope, you cannot see Taverly, you cannot see Lumbridge. Lumbridge is just icons.
Yeah, I know.
It's,
you know, this was an update.
And they also got rid of the bazooka. There's no more fixed device. I mean, there is, but you hold it down. It looks dumb.
So, the icons were not a part of the main patch this week. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? Were they?
I don't know, they just look terrible.
Alright.
So
you know, I was trying to think of where this came in, but was this week or the week before that these icons came in?
It was this week.
I'm trying to find the thing on Reddit where it's
I thought it was last week, but I guess it was this week. Okay, so that's a major issue that people are getting used to. It's much the same way as when they changed the emotes interface from being text to having pictures for each emote. It still takes forever to find the emote you want to use, and I think it's still going to take a while to relearn all the icons on the map. Unless you have a very high resolution screen, you cannot tell what a bank thing looks like unless you really, really zoom in on that icon. And in that case, you discover that it is actually a chest with a lock on it.
You could just put a dollar sign like they used to before.
Yeah, I mean, there was no reason to change away from the bank being a dollar sign when that's what everyone knows it is. Like, yes, you can upgrade the icons of what they look like, but still.
I'm still getting used to the one-click banking.
Oh, I already got used to that from ages ago. But anyways, other tweaks and fixes aside from the abomination of the map icons are devotion cooldown has been lowered to 60 seconds from 90, and the initial uptime has been increased to 10 seconds. That is the one that gives you 100% protection prayer in PvE situations. So that's nice.
Uh-huh. Wait, so how long does that last?
It lasts for 10 seconds now, and if you kill an enemy, it's extended by 5 seconds.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Also this week we got that book and spirit tree UIs were updated. I know we don't like the spirit tree one.
Basically, because it's not terrible.
Oh, okay. You were pretty distraught about it.
It's just different. No, I wasn't.
Oh, okay. Oh, God, it's different.
Yeah, it's just different.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Revolution auto-retaliate when fighting multiple creatures. A bug with that has been fixed, which I mentioned previously. A good thing happened to the mud runes, specifically ground mud runes. This is going to be a great way of making Herblore experience now. Basically, what you do is you take ground mud runes, and since they're now going to stack in your inventory, you can make 27 extreme magic potions at a time rather than only 14. So definitely a great way of making Herblore experience. And
right after I get 99, ain't it?
Yep. What's that called? That's called Murphy's Law, right?
Everything that can possibly...
No, if it was Murphy's Law, Shane, I would have negative 99 Herblore right now.
Oh, that'd be unfortunate given how expensive it is, indeed. And Slayer Helmet upgrade costs have been decreased if you've already upgraded to one of the helmets. So basically, sequential upgrade costs aren't going to cost as much.
Yes. Upgrade.
Yeah, remember they updated the Slayer helmet so that it can be upgraded to a level 70 item now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how do you do that?
You need to spend Slayer points on it.
Just talk to any Slayer
master and you can make it so.
Cool.
That's all I got from the patch notes, unless you guys have anything else interesting here.
Deposit box has been added to the crafting gear for those who have completed Father's Hard Task.
A what?
Deposit box.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that is.
Maybe people will actually use the crafting guild now.
I use it.
Really?
It was the only place to get gold in the past.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same with clay.
Oh, wait, no, that was a long time ago. Wrong one. Never mind. It's because I'm wrong patch note. My bad.
Oh. Yeah, I thought that was added a while ago.
My bad.
Oh. Okay. Anything else from the March 10th patch notes in that case?
Oh, uh-oh.
All right. What's next?
Next up, we have the polling updates, and I'm not happy with these polls.
Why not? Tell us what they are.
Dragonstone poll is future quest. Right now, 6H quests are winning by 50% of the vote, with next in the series quest at 20 and standalone quest at 19.
I'm not really sure why, though. It's kind of sad. I wanted a gnome quest.
Oh, okay.
I voted next to this series because that's the time we wind down. Since we're entering a new age, I think it's time we actually start finishing off some of the quest storylines.
All right.
Interesting. 6H quest is just, what's the point? They're not really adding much to the lore. We're just going to be told...
And- And let me just say that if we let Jagex choose what kind of quest, I'm sure we would be perfectly fine with whatever they would come out with. This is something that I don't like about Power to the Players. I'm going to agree. I don't like this poll this week. They said when Power of the Players came out, they would not be polling things that have to do with lore. Now, granted, they're not polling specific things about what's happening in the RuneScape lore, but they're polling which one gets development next, whether it be Sixth Age, Desert, Gnome, that sort of thing. So that's why I have a problem with this. And, you know, I would like to see a Sixth Age quest, but I would also like to see all these other quests that are mentioned as well. Specifically, Elemental Workshop Part 5. Is anybody else here very interested for that one?
No, I hate those. Those are the only ones that I despise.
Yeah, because Breed has to use his brain, and he likes the cussing to shut it off.
They're annoying. They're the only ones that I allow myself to use a guide on, because they are so atrocious.
And that's why I like the Elemental Workshop quest. It's one of my favorite quest lines.
It's annoying.
But there's also an option for a standalone quest, like a mystery quest or a time travel quest or a comedy quest. I came up with an idea for a time travel quest. Anyone want to hear it?
No.
Say that again?
Well, in the standalone quest. No, actually. Well, you could include time runes with that. My idea with the time travel quest was to bring Guthix back from the dead, start a Power to the Players campaign, bring Guthix back from the dead, and see what happens. Let's do it through this time travel quest. Let's see how that affects the Sixth Age, why don't we?
And you know what I would do, right, Shane?
What?
I would kill him, absorb his power, then use his power to get Sarah Doman, defeat Zamorak, and you know, completely destroy
Zaros, make friends with
Anubis, and then bring the dreams to the world.
Hitler, right? The worst decision you could make if you're time traveling.
I don't know.
All right.
I'd be up for a time travel quest if we could have a RuneScape Temporal Prime Directive, but I voted for Sixth Age. You guys voted for next in a series, I assume?
I did.
Okay.
Don't know about Reed, though.
Voted for next quest in a series.
Okay. That one's back at 20%, unfortunately.
I know, it's so dumb.
Because I would like to see the next desert quest. I do give you that. Or the next gnome quest, as you say.
I just want to first start finishing the quest series. Anyway, let's see. With the Ruby, we have Master Skill Cape. 63% won a cosmetic override for those who have 200 million XP in a...
It's not 200 million. It's for level 120.
It's the equivalent of 120.
No, that ain't me. So, me.
Yeah. Get 200 mil rune crafting the traditional way, Trekkie.
Go to hell.
That was him, not me.
Yeah, that's fine. But, you know, there's lots of you guys out there who are going to think that I will want a master farming skill cape, right?
No, you will. That's obvious.
Well, no, I don't. I voted no in this option. For this poll, I mean. You want
to
know why?
We had the discussion last week, Shane.
Yes, and this is why I voted no. Because if you put a virtual 120 as a milestone, you end up with no need to actually expand skills beyond 120. RuneScape is only 10 years old. They said they have a 10-year plan for RuneScape. So what's going to happen to people like us veterans who have been playing since the very beginning and are eventually going to start maxing out 99s? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to come back and play every other month for a new quest? And that's the thing. it comes back to the point is that it would give us something to do if skills were actually expanded to 120 combined with the prestige mode that was mentioned last November. So I think by bringing in master skill capes, they are effectively cutting off a lead as to which way skills could go. So that's why I vote no, but it clearly looks like we are proceeding in the yes direction on this poll. And just because they happening... I
don't understand what you're saying.
Okay. Basically, what I'm saying is if they introduce cosmetic 120s, right, there will mm-hmm. be less incentive for them to expand a skill, say, 5 years down the road to level 120. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah. So let's go with that.
With this, we need to keep in mind the longer picture of RuneScape. RuneScape is 10 years old, and if Jagex does indeed have a 10-year plan for the game, we need to keep that in mind with what decisions we are making today. So that's the option or the answer behind that. But I'm also going to say that you can listen to their most recent pollcast and JMod interview pertaining to the Dragonstone Pollcast. Poll and Future Quest. Yeah, their pollcast at runescape.podbean.com.
Pollcast.
Yep, that's right.
That is a casting terrible their poll. Name.
I know.
I don't like it.
Anyways, I'm going to move us right along now to something that Dearth is also very passionate about. Silverhawk boots from the Squeal of Fortune. Oops, I mean Treasure Hunter.
Dearth.
I said Earth. Did I say Dearth?
You said Dearth. You did say
okay,
Dearth.
Okay, I meant Earth. I meant Earth. So why do you like these boots so much?
Earlier... I never said I liked them or disliked them. I just thought it was interesting.
You have the boots of Mercury.
Yeah, I mean, I was just running around and suddenly 800 agility XP, 400 of that was bonus XP. And I was like, what? Really? And that was one charge. So that's gonna give me like 160k. Bonus, or that's gonna give me like 160k agility experience for running.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
So you get agility XP for every minute you spend running, whenever you unleash an ultimate ability in combat, and occasionally while skilling.
Whoa! Every time you unleash an ultimate ability...
Correct.
There is something in the Clan Citadels that like gives you permanent 100% adrenaline, like in the battlefield.
Really now?
Yeah. So you can go there and do that over and over and over. Really? Wow.
We found out recently.
But you got to keep in mind that the ultimates have long cooldowns.
There's more than one. Just bring more weapons.
Yeah.
I know. Silverhawk boots also have Silverhawk feathers that you can get. You can get them on the Grand Exchange. You can recharge your boots with up to 500 feathers.
So are those going... How long are these going to be in the game?
You're going to be able to get the boots and the feathers from the 14th to the 17th of March. So just this weekend.
And after that, they're gone.
No. Like assembled boots and feathers will remain as prizes after these dates.
Oh, okay. So you can't, like, buy them all up right now and then be rich in, like, 6 months.
So basically all the feathers that come into the game will come into the game this weekend and as with the boots. So if you want the boots and you don't have the... feathers to get them, or you don't get the boots as a drop, as Earth did here, you can just go to the exchange and pick up some of these feathers in order to do this. Now, you wanted to highlight a very interesting post about this.
Yeah, there's an open letter that was actually stickied on the, I think, on the Reddit for Scape. Shane, would you care to read it or summarize it?
Yeah, I'll give it a quick read. It's only about a couple paragraphs long. Dear Jagex, with the recent release of Silverhawk Boots and the Wicked Pouch, I feel like Treasure Hunter and Solomon's General Store have crossed a line. These items should be minigame rewards or obtainable through other in-game ways not related to bonds or microtransactions. The Silverhawk Boots allow for XP rates of 170k agility XP. This is Shane saying now that this is unverified. According to this YouTube video by RS Mankilla, training agility via the Advanced Barbarian Assault course is less than half of that. Advanced Barbarian course caps out at around 69k per hour if no mistakes are made. This promotion allows those with real-life money to buy bonds and get the boots and allows them to have an advantage over the rest of us. Also, with this promotion, agility becomes a viable skill, costing about 20 mil for 93 to 99 according to this Reddit post. I would like to see the Silverhawk boots made obtainable through the Brimhaven Agility Dungeon, Barbarian Assault, or a brand new minigame. Furthermore, the Wicked Pouch should be a reward from the Runespan as it ties in with the Wicked theme from the rewards there. I have seen the reasoning of in-game cash can be used to buy bonds, used by mod pips to defend items put on Solomon's General Store, and I, among many players in the comments below, mod pips comment, agree with the sentiment that this isn't acceptable. Personally, I am in favor of bonds, however, if they will be used as rationalization to allow items to be added to Solomon's General Store that aren't cosmetic in nature, then I want them gone. Also, I do not want to see Solomon's General Store become a dumping ground for useful items that could be gained from mini games, many of which are dead and need revitalization. Thank you for reading my email at username here.
So, yeah. Now, I would like everyone to take note of something. This is from Reddit, and Shane read it. It was unintentional. On the show, and that means...
It doesn't mean I agree with it.
It's significant, though, because Shane despises Reddit. So
I'm reading it because you're a guest on the show. And guests on the show have a role in producing the episode that they are on.
It is no small thing that this was read on the show.
If one of our hosts had something that was viable from 4chan,
Shane,
I would let
Shane,
them hear.
I'm not going to argue with you about this. It's significant. Leave it at that.
Wow.
I do not agree with
that. Anyway, so you don't agree with this?
No.
No, why not?
I think that there's enough GP floating around in-game that if people really wanted to take advantage of this, they would. People who have these extraordinary amounts of GP already are likely to be maxed or close to being maxed in these skills, so I don't see it as much of an issue from that point of view. Also, like I said, all it takes is a couple of hours at the Queen Black Dragon. You can earn 3 bonds and get yourself however many spins that gets you, or Treasure Hunter keys. I keep calling them spins. It's just because that was what was ingrained in mind. So my point is that money comes quickly in RuneScape. 6 mil an hour is the average rate at the Queen Black Dragon in order to get that. So that's essentially one bond an hour, give or take, depending on what you do. So when you think about this, yes, it's kind of annoying to see these items in-game as giving XP in that way, but keep in mind there are those of us out there, some of us not necessarily on the show, who might not have time to spend a huge amount of XP getting agility because we have other things that we want to be doing. Agility is one of the most tedious skills in the game. Now, this is clearly not meant to be a way of training agility XP. Yes, you can exploit it in this fashion if you want to, but I don't think that's the primary purpose.
Okay.
All right, moving on.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I would like a set of these boots.
I have Hermes. All right, anyway. Hang on. No. Are they even tradable?
I don't know.
No.
I know the feathers are.
Okay.
Alrighty. Move us on.
Next up, we have the behind-the-scenes video, Fate of the Gods, Part 1.
Yeah, so this is going to be a two-part affair to unveil this quest, so it's not coming this week. It'll be coming in the final week of March, by the looks of it. And next week, we'll be getting the Zorosian minigame. So that should be fun. I mean, mini-quest. Oops.
Okay, I was confused.
Yeah.
All right. Makes sense.
You know, I'm not going to say too much about this now. We spent a good portion of this episode talking about a quest. We'll save talking about Fate of the Gods once it comes out. But definitely watch this video. Definitely built my hype for the upcoming quest.
Go Anubis.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Well, if there's nothing else, next. We should probably move on to questions now, right?
Let's do it. Sure.
Alrighty. First one is an audio question from Parnassius.
G'day guys, it's Parnassius here, and my question for you this week is to ask your thoughts on how you think the legacy combat Jagex is working on will affect the future development of high-level bosses. Jagex claim it won't have any effect at all, but I just cannot take their word on that after they have reversed their position on nearly everything they have said this year. We know that when those older players who just will not evolve with the game start crying, Jagex runs in to pacify them. My major fear is that new bosses will have to be changed to suit Legacy instead of being developed with only the current game style in mind. I can only see this having a detrimental effect on both the quality and the development time of any new bosses that are planned for the future. What are your thoughts on this?
I don't believe it will have any effect on high-level bosses, primarily because anyone who's fighting high-level bosses would not be using Legacy mode. They would be using manual, so you can have better ability to control what they're doing.
Exactly.
You and I kind of over the weekend, Shane, we went to God Wars Dungeon, and both of us were just doing manual. It was more interactive
Shane
for us,
got
and
us
it was
killed.
Easier. Yeah. Well, that is Shane. What you expect, from conservative? I'm sorry, Shane. I had to do it.
He's not sorry. It's a lie.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I'm sorry. But,
So, there was an FAQ about legacy combat and bosses. And what they did say is that quest NPCs would be tuned so that they can be killed using either the full manual mode or legacy combat. So we have that on one side. Now, on the other side, they said it will depend boss by boss as to whether or not it will be killable using legacy combat. So if there comes out a new boss on the order of the Kalphite King or Virago, you will need abilities in order to kill it. At least that's what they said according to their FAQ. And when this came out, they did say that you wouldn't be able to kill the Kalphite King, because the Kalphite King stuns you. And with Legacy Combat, there's no way to overcome a stun. You need Evolution Combat abilities in order to do that. So, ultimately, I think at the end of the day, they are going to try and keep true to this. But, as you said, if a huge amount of people come wanting the Kalphite King done in a Legacy mode-friendly manner, I unfortunately have to say that I think this will be happening, because that's just the pattern that's been set over the past year, in that Jagex says something and it's done completely the opposite in order to pacify whoever is the group complaining about it at the time. So, as much as I want to think they will honor what they're saying, I have to think that we might end up seeing the reversal of some bosses if enough people want it. So what do you guys think? Will some of the NPCs or bosses end up getting reworked for Legacy Combat?
God, I don't know. If I... It could be yes or no. It's Jagex.
Then I hope the bosses will roast up the other guys who are using legacy mode.
Yeah.
If I can do next just by one clicking it, something is wrong.
You can?
Well, you could do that beforehand because next was a pre-EOC boss. Remember that.
Yeah, but then you click on it and just start fighting.
Like, right now, you can do that.
No.
Well, no, not with the current combat system, because momentum is pretty useless when it comes to dealing damage. We all know that.
If you use abilities and stuff...
You can kill it easily with that. That's the thing with Evolution of Combat. It made all those bosses heck tons easier, and... You probably will be able to kill the pre-EOC bosses with legacy mode, I mean, but what's to say what happened to future bosses? I don't know. I personally think that designing for Evolution of Combat going forward is the best thing to do, and with Legacy Combat, the best thing to do with that is to limit it to people who created their account prior to November 2012 to use it. That way then, once those people stop playing... Legacy Combat will no longer be needed, and we slowly phase it out.
Yeah, but RuneScape is something you never quit. You just keep coming back. But you play it in phases of, like, six months.
That is true. So, I don't know. I really share these same concerns, and it is troubling going forward. And, I mean, if Jagex was a public company, this would be number one reason not to invest in them. All right. Do any of you guys have anything else on this one?
No.
Say what?
Anything else on the question?
Nothing.
No. All right, well, if you want to send an audio question like Parnassius did, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a voicemail on Skype. The username is rsbnbupdate. And with that being said, Earth, can you read us the next question, please?
Of course you make it me. Question from Eclipsians. Hey guys, I was just wondering, what is your favorite combat style? I myself prefer to melee. Thanks. Also, what are your thoughts on making the Wildy non-PvP on certain worlds so people can do things such as clue scrolls and the agility course? I think it would be good, but that's just me. Thanks for answering. Keep up the great work as always. Encryptions. P.S. Can't find how to sign up for Skill of the Month. Hope I do, as I got 95 prayer banked and would be nice to win. Thanks again. Alright.
It's too late to sign up.
Yeah, it is
too late
to sign up. Is
that this month?
Yeah, it is. March Skill of the Month is prayer. The way Skill of the Month works is you have to sign up in the last week of the month. So... Sign up for the March Skill of the Month was open in the last week of February, and from this, sign up for April Skill of the Month will be open in the last week of March, and you sign up at rsbnb.com/skotm, Skill of the Month.
Skotum.
Indeed. I personally prefer magic.
I used to prefer melee, but ranged is... really good now. So.
I still melee, but I've been doing more range because I'm trying to get it up. I've maxed out magic and melee, so range is my last thing I need to get up.
Yeah.
Alright. Reason I like Magic is because runes are so cheap. Everyone has them. Well, except for air runes these days, but that's a bit different.
I bought 100,000 of each elemental rune.
You should check your bank value then, because the prices of elemental runes has gone up recently, so you could be very rich at the moment.
Whoa, how much?
Well, let me just tell you right now that an air rune... Whoops. No, don't click that link.
Holy shit.
An air rune is 36 GP. It was up at 50 GP last month.
What?
Yeah.
Water.
Fire runes are 47 GP each.
Water is at 22, and me runes are at 13. Those should be the highest.
Yeah. So as I said, runes have gone up quite a bit in value. Cool. So check your bank if you have 100,000 plus of them. You probably made a good amount of money on them. And now would be a good time to sell if you're not planning to do any magic.
Sell.
Oh, hey. Don't need to
and
do
And you know,
right
I kind of laughed that earth runes were so cheap.
They should be the best. Sorry, Shane.
That's okay. So the wilderness being being safe on some worlds.
I liked the wilderness when there were revenants in it.
I found those annoying.
I really liked it.
Why?
It was an interesting. Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're probably really easy to kill, but I've never been a combat type, so it was like, ooh, one might kill me. And there also weren't... excuse me. There also weren't, chin chat, please, no?
No. No. The answer is no.
Okay. I wanted to clear a word. There weren't very rude people in the wilderness who would blackmail, who would kill you and then blackmail you and say, hey, you give me 10 mil and I'll tell my clan to back off you. That happened to me.
Oh,
that made me lose my faith in the community a bit, I must say.
Yeah, you know, the PK community was always like that, so I do have to agree with you there.
Whenever I see someone complaining about the combat system, it's obvious that they're a PKer, so...
How about you there? What do you think of keeping the wilderness safe?
No.
Okay. I guess just because of those guns against the primary idea, right?
Which we had that. We did that before a long time ago. And, you know, it didn't work out as well. And we had to, with those idiots, we say the dark ages of the wilderness. Wilderness is supposed to be dangerous. You go risking what you need. And Jack has been pretty good about not risking, having you risk a lot of stuff that you don't need to risk in there. Although the Great Armadillo Massacre was kind of funny.
What was that?
Remember when Armadillo staff kind of came out? People were
killing
people in lower level wild?
Right. Right, okay.
I don't remember that.
Well, you know, I honestly think the wilderness needs to be a dangerous area because we all grew up with the wilderness being a line that you cross and you can get killed by other people. They added the ditch to prevent people from
you cross that line.
Yeah, it's a red line, and you know, if you actually cross it, something actually does happen to you, unlike other things where red lines have been drawn and nothing's been done in the past. But
the line must be drawn here.
Yes, yes. So I think the wilderness needs to remain dangerous, and and plus, really, the only treasure trails that send you into the wilderness anymore are the level 4 treasure trails, I find. I haven't got sent into the wilderness on a level 3 for a long, long time.
Yeah, I have noticed that. And if you do that, you just one item it, right?
Yeah, and plus you can bring your meerkats as the digging thing. Rather than the sextant watch and other thing. What's the other one? Chart.
A spade.
Right. Yeah. So that's 4. So you can cut that down to 1 with meerkats. Anyways, hopefully that satisfies your quest for answers from us on this week's show. Next question is from Magic. Dear host, 2 questions this week. First, what do I have to do to get a 99 read out on the show? I entered the RS name on my account page and I posted here on the forums. What else do I need to do? I'm 98 smithing and on my way to skill mastery. I can't wait to finally smith myself a rune plate body. I'm still stuck with that damn Tetsu. Secondly, when JX mentions that they're going to be working on a skill or doing a skill overhaul like smithing, is that incentive for you to train a skill or stop training it and wait? Personally, I wanted to master smithing before they change it, even if this will be more expensive. However, I'm saving all my bonus agility XP for a much-needed update to agility. Hope you're all enjoying Twitch Plays RuneScape. Sincerely, Magic1. Well, there's the update to agility this week. Ain't that true?
Yeah. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, for not training a skill if I know they're going to do a rework, for me that really depends on the skill. Like, I'm not doing anything with construction until they redo all of that, because it's just going to be made useless. Yeah, there's no point with it being so expensive. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat as well. I'm not touching smithing for that reason. I'm not touching construction for that reason. I'm not taking summoning any further for that reason. Granted, I would like to finish off summoning, but it just doesn't really make sense to do so at the time being. So I generally wait. And you, Trent?
Yeah. It's a waiting game.
You know, now it's kind of my higher ones, considering over the weekend, but I have no real incentive to get it. I got what I wanted. I'm happy with it for now. Whatever. Usually, honestly, my main smithing training method is really the Citadel. That's really it.
Oh, yeah, that works. That works. All right. In order to answer your other question, as to how you get on the high scores, you are currently on the high scores as I'm looking at this right now. The requirements are listed on the FAQ page of the high scores, so you did the first 2 steps of entering in your account name and posting, but you also must have been a member of the RSBNB forums for the last month. You must have posted at least once in the last month in a forum with post count, and you must have logged in the past week in order to appear on the high scores. So those are the requirements to having your name appear, and then once you do achieve a 99, it will pop up in our weekly roundup, and then we will read it. I currently see you're level 98, so if you keep your current activity up on the forums and you get your 98 whenever you get it, it will show up in our list, and we will read it off.
Yay!
Alrighty, last question.
Alright, last question. Question is from Flash, dear host. I'm currently running pretty short on money, but I never really know any ways to make a good amount of money quickly. So I was wondering what good methods of making money is these days without merchanting. Flash. Well, if your definition is high enough, turn maple into yield logs and you can sell them back on the GE.
That takes a good amount of time.
540 an hour isn't right. Terrible. Ugh, same thing.
All All right, that works.
Yeah.
A couple of interesting things that we've noticed recently, of course, is that runecrafting is actually really viable now, not only nature runes, but air runes as well. I'm not sure what your current runecrafting level is, but look into that. I know that's something that we could definitely do with. So, runecrafting. I also like my farming runs. Depending on what your farming level is, you generally want to go for a herb that is cheap in terms of seed, but people will always buy. And oh boy, I'm not pressing the right buttons on my keyboard today for some reason.
Imagine that.
He has no fingers.
Toad flax has always been a good one. You can make roughly, I want to say, about 30,000 GP per herb. So multiply that by 5 for an entire farming run. That's 150k per farming run. Now you make it 3 times a day.
Herb patch, he means.
Yes, that's right. So if you do that, so if you do do one seed per patch and then in the 5 herb patches, that gives you 158k per farming run. Now let's say you do 3 of those per day, and that gives you 475k there per day. Granted, it's not very fast, but it is a nice, relaxed way of bringing funds in. And then, of course, the other option I like, if you are combat-based, is you can go to the Queen Black Dragon and fight that thing. That thing can give you anywhere between probably 3 and 6 mil per hour. Okay, Flash is 78 runecrafting, so crafting air runes would definitely be something that he could look into. Because when you get up there and you earn multiple per essence, you're already making profit off that. So anything on top of that is just extra. So I'd say go runecrafting and farming. Yeah, those are 48 GP each, and essence are only 17.
Oh, and you can make like a billion of them.
Yep, that's right.
Isn't that right next to a bank now, too?
It used to be when the Armadillo event was happening, but not anymore. They removed the bank from that.
Where is it now? They keep moving it.
Is there No, it's closer to Barbarian Village now.
Okay, because it used to be, like, south of Palador, right?
South, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then they moved it, and then I think they moved it again. And it just need to be consistent.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Flash can make eight air runes per essence.
Huh. Well, so if you know, just on the thing of changing it, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Not if it ain't broke, fix it until it is. So that seems to be what Jagex does sometimes.
I'd actually argue against that. The map was meant to be a good update. There are just some usability kinks behind it.
It's fine as it was.
Yeah, but it doesn't allow for space going forward. If you want, we can do a focus on the map.
Okay. No, thank you.
All right. Well, that's it for questions then. Thank you, everybody, for your questions. Next up, we're moving on to tech news. So first up this week in tech news, the U.S. government begins loosening a decades-old grip on control of the Internet. So for the longest time, organizations such as ICANN, who handles domains on the Internet, were controlled by the American Department of Commerce. Now, this doesn't really make sense, given that the Internet is a global thing. Now, does it? It should make sense. This should be controlled by some body where a good amount of people, other than just one government has input to it, which has actually started happening. So there's going to be a new group formulated to take over control of this. So this can only be good for the internet. They also control the DNS system, the domain name system.
Yeah, should make a bad one, Shane. A bad DNS server.
No, you wouldn't want to do that. You'd have all sorts of bad things happening if you did that, if you know what I mean.
I don't, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, if you had a bad DNS system, you would have people hijacking websites left, right, and center.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah. So when you go to rsbnb.com, you go to RSBNB's alter ego
premier universe.
Hmm?
But not up top. So we'd have that going for it. You said left, right, and center, but not up top. So we've got that going for us.
Sure. And you go to a very bad website from the mirror universe. Anyways.
Stop. Stop. You stop that right there, Shay.
Oh, I wonder how many people will get that.
It's a Star Trek. Okay. All right. Moving on.
All right. So that can only be good for the internet. Maybe we'll get these people to come up with some new top-level domains. What was that?
SOPA.
Explain what a top-level domain is, Shane.
Oh, that's basically whatever follows the website address. So .com, .uk, .ca, those sorts of things are top-level domain names. Yeah, .xxx is one as well. There's .berlin apparently, .coffee. Apple wants to get their own .apple. So basically, that is the solution these days to the ever
Would that be like
problem.
APL or Apple, like APPLE?
It would be .APPLE.
Fascinating.
Yeah, they can be any length. Like it says there's going to be a .berlin or whatever. And there's a .mobi. So there is no length put into place. It's just the shorter ones were just set up that way when the internet was first created. But we're getting off on a bit of a tangent right now.
.mobi supposed to be
.mobi is for... Yeah. It's short for mobile. Okay.
I got you.
Alrighty. Microsoft is offering packages to banking companies in order to keep Windows XP alive on their ATMs because 95% of the world's ATMs run on Windows XP.
No. Kill it. Kill it. Make it die.
So support for Windows XP ends on April 8th, and these banking institutions... are not in a real hurry to upgrade them. Only a very small percentage of them are running on Windows 7. So
only
they need
what?
To pay Microsoft. 5% are running on something other than XP.
No.
Which is pretty substantial, that the amount of XP out there. So... banking companies in the UK are going to be paying on the order of $100 million in order to secure their systems on Windows XP.
It's dumb. Just move to...
And you see, this is part of the problem. Banking systems are ancient. My bank only allows for certain... sets in terms of its online banking password. So this is, of course, pointing back to the olden days where banking systems ran on mainframes that didn't exactly support all the special characters that we have access to nowadays. So this is, of course, rearing its ugly head in the form of passwords. And this is another thing that banking institutions are doing. They're keeping slow on the ATM front as well. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. They like to be secure, but you know, if these machines could get exploited, it would be very bad for these companies. So I agree.
Okay, how would they get exploited? Definitely move.
Well, you'd need to disable the security camera at the ATM, first thing. Then you'd need to find an area of seclusion to actually access the hardware.
Yeah.
So it's not easy to do, but still, you know, you can never discount the impossible, because apparently, I'm just reading right now that the Malaysian Airlines flight from last week was hijacked. And,
Wait, what?
Kidnapped for piracy, apparently. That's what the
American... Wait, the one that crashed?
Yeah, it was supposedly hijacked. So we'll learn more about this in the coming hours, I guess. But that just shows that whatever is possible, or whatever we think is impossible, might end up being possible.
Oh, that's a frightening thought.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. All right.
Those are definitely two words you do not want to say on an airplane. High and Jack.
No, you don't want to have an uncle
crash,
named Jack.
Bang, boom. Crash, bang, boom. Bang, down go boom. All the major browsers.
Don't you mean bang and ding ow?
You
yes,
asshole.
That was from last year. No, that was from
you
last
asshole.
Year.
Oh, okay. My bad.
That was from last year's plane crash. Anyways, moving on. Crash, bang, boom. Down go all the major browsers at Pwn2Own. So for those unaware, Pwn2Own is an annual hacking conference. Basically, all these people get together and attempt to hack various things, whether it be web browsers, operating systems. But of course, the main target is web browsers because everyone uses them. Chrome? Firefox, Internet Explorer, and Safari were all cracked by the end of the two-day competition. So it just shows, when you get a bunch of hackers together, white hat nonetheless, they can find exploits in something that is necessarily deemed secure. First up, Google cracked Safari 7 on fully patched Mavericks, and at the end of the exploit, Google was running Calculator as root.
Which means
that with
this browser as a calculator.
No, it means that your computer can be hijacked through Safari.
Cool.
But Internet Explorer
French group. No.
What?
at the Firefox one.
Oh, the Firefox one was apparently... Yeah, the Firefox one was, I guess, taken out by a group of French security hackers. Google Chrome also went down. Internet Explorer went down. Though they say IE's wasn't as bad as Safari. And Flash and Adobe Reader also were hacked. So... this is just a general warning out there to everybody. Be careful on the internet. Please do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like we need to turn JavaScript and Flash off and, you know, just go back to using pure HTML pages based on this.
Yeah, whatever, Apple fanboy.
No, I mean, it's not an Apple issue. It's a problem for whichever operating system out there. So.
You're an operating system.
Why, thank
Yay.
You. I'll do the operating system quiz later and tell you which one I am. All right, there, Earth, give us a preview of the March Skill of the Month. What have we got?
I stopped.
let's see. A preview. No, this was... Oh, Flash. What a surprise. Flash is... It's. Can I say... Yeah, I'll just say it. You'll edit it. Flash is kicking ass, it seems. With 2.7 million experience gained thus far. And then in second, Uncle Dano is at 676K. So, I mean, it is prayer, so you can get all of that. I mean, it looks like Flash really worked on it 2 days. So, this could very well change at the very end. So, I would say that it's still anyone's game.
Yeah, you can gain XP.
Go, Uncle Dano,
really
go.
Quickly.
No, go. Go, Minor Goo, go. Minor Goo is in last place currently. But I believe...
There's some guy named Trekkie at fifth.
Asshole. A loser.
I hate you guys so much.
Nah, it's okay.
Actually.
All right. So, next up, we got a new Informer article this week from Tanis entitled, Are We Entering a Golden Age in Combat? In which he talks about the great stuff that's come in the past year and a half with the evolution of combat, but also what's going to be offered to people with Legacy Combat. And he surmises that maybe this might just be the best time to be doing combat in RuneScape. So you're going to have to read the article to figure out why, and you can find that at informer.rsbnb.com.
Woo!
And in Achievements of the Week.
I'll get these. 101 Duck 1. Killzone BM12 with 99 Constitution on March 12th. Poison Nova with 99 Mining on March 12th. Jade Gizmo with 99 Dungeoneering on March 10th. And Touchpad Pro with 99 Hunter also on March 10th.
Congratulations to everybody.
Good job, everyone. Good job. Alrighty. So, I believe one of you guys has a pick of the week for us.
Yes. It's mine, actually, Reed. Anyway, there is a new website that was looking around. It's called Design the Web. It's actually a little game that you play that quizzes you on what website it is. I mean, a blank template, and you have to try and figure it out.
Yep. And how I got, like, the first... Are they all the same? Is it the same every time you do it? Or does it just pick randomly from a bunch of websites? Because the first one was like Google, I think, for me.
Yeah, I think it's the same. Either once or twice.
Okay. I think I got about half of them.
Yeah, about...
What's the score?
Eight or nine. The ones I didn't get out of 12.
You know, we did five of them, so...
For me, the ones I didn't get were ones I don't even use, like Twitter and Facebook. I was like, oh, forget it.
Okay.
So I tried MySpace. It didn't work. There wasn't one for MySpace, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, you know, this is interesting because it really goes to showing what is going on with the design on websites, and I can actually say now that it is not randomized, it's the same each time, because I got Google twice in a row. But what ends up happening with this is a good indication of whether or not a website's core structure is something that sticks in people's minds. Because if you can get a website's core structure to stick in someone's mind, then it's a pretty good web design. So I will say that much about this. Yeah, I don't even know what some of these are. I only got Google and Reddit, correct?
Yeah, did you know what Reddit looked like?
I've been sending him to Reddit a lot.
See.
He has. Anyways, you can find that at ddesigntheweb.com. So, what have we been up to? Let's start with you, Tricky.
Demo reports this week, and... What else did I do? been so busy with work and classes. It's been nuts. They're mostly ports this week. Found out one of my guys just bit the dust and was thrown overboard and fed to the sharks. We're like, oh, okay, I'll just grab another one. And I think that was more or less it. I think I did a little bit of divination, but that was it. And actually, I've been fishing sharks for you, Shane.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yes. So you get your sharks somehow, some way. They're coming. Just don't expect it to be fast.
Oh, all right.
Why are you getting him sharks?
I'll tell you about that right now. I am currently training cooking up to level 94 to cook a rocktail. 94 is when you can stop burning them without cooking gauntlets, or with cooking gauntlets, I mean. And I've wanted the ability to cook my own rocktails for quite some time, just because if I'm going somewhere, I'd prefer much rather to go out and fish my own and then cook them rather than just spending the money on the exchange, because that maximizes the profits from whatever I'm doing. So that's what I've been mainly doing this week, as well as working on the Bits and Bytes Citadel. So if anybody out there is looking for a clan, you don't have one and you just want to join one for the hell of it, we can do that. We have the avatar available to be taken out. We have no restrictions on that. Contact me in-game, Shane12088, if you want an invite, and I will
help you. So you have the skill bonus for the avatar?
We do. We do.
That's good. That's what people want. That is a 6% bonus if you are close to the avatar, and 3% if you're just on the world. So it's worth it.
Yeah, and we like it that anyone can take the avatar out. We just say if you're going to be using it, use it on World 72, because that's what most of us use. So,
How many people? Avatars.
You have one.
Okay.
You only have one. One out at any time.
We have three.
But aside from the cooking and the Citadel, just been doing ports and whatnot. Currently 51% of the way through Region 5, so coming up quickly on Region 6 and finishing off the original storylines.
Yeah.
All right, you're up next, Earth.
Oh, man, what have I been doing? Well, this week has been my spring break, so been doing all of that stuff. Just been at home, resting, girlfriends. Of course, wanted to see me.
Oh, and you got shot.
Oh yeah, I got shot on Thursday. That was fun.
Huh?
Got shot right in the arm.
Bye.
I got shot right in the arm, Trekkie.
Really?
Really. I got a meningitis shot.
Fascinating.
But I've just told everyone that I got shot. And just to see what their reactions were. And one person in my clan, I said, well, I got shot earlier today and I'm feeling a little sick, so I'm gonna go lay down. And he, like, freaked out. He said, what? You got shot? And you're playing RuneScape? You're so bad at... So that was fun. I think that's the best reaction I got, though.
Anything else from anyone this week?
What have you been doing, Shen? Cooking?
I already told you.
Okay.
Yeah, I already told you.
Cooking. Have you been doing anything else?
No.
No? Lame.
Anyways, thank you for joining us, everybody. This has been our Shane Update, and we will see you next week. Remember, if you want to hear more about when these guesting chances on supplemental will be, or when the questions topic goes up, or whenever we have something new on Informer, Best way of doing that would be to follow the RSBNB Twitter account, which is RSBNB Staff. I am Shane12088, and see you next week.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.